You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it has been nearly 2 months now since U.S. Democratic Senator Carl Levin announced he would not seek a seventh term. That announcement sets up one of the biggest political questions in Michigan. Who will take over his seat in 2014? Last week, three-time Congressman Gary Peters announced he will run for Levin's seat. Democrats say Peters gives them a strong candidate. Republicans say the congressman has supported left-leaning policies that have become unpopular in Michigan. Congressman and now Senate candidate Gary Peters joins us now. Welcome back to Stateside, Congressman.
Wonderful to be with you, Cindy.
I want to start, if we can, let's go first to the detractors who say that you are just too far left to be able to fairly represent the entire state. What's your response?
Well, I don't believe that's the case. In fact, it's certainly been proven the fact that I've represented very diverse communities, having represented Oakland County for two terms in Congress, and now, of course, in a new district that includes half of Wayne County and half of Oakland County. I believe that I've represented the diversity of this great state over these last few years and look forward to continuing to do that. And basically, my philosophy is you need to get out in communities, you need to listen to folks, and then hear what they have to say, then take it to Washington and be an aggressive advocate for the issues that matter most to Michigan middle-class families.
So what do you say to someone like Henry Payne, who wrote in the Detroit News, and here's his quote, his liberal anti-small business advocacy for Obamacare and higher taxes seed doubt about the real Gary Peters?
Well, of course, that's if you have to consider the source, and as you know, he is basically a mouthpiece for the Michigan Republican Party, so you've got to take everything with a grain of salt. But I have been focused on small business since day one. In fact, I was the principal author of the Small Business Jobs Act, which was considered one of the most significant pieces of small business legislation to come out of Congress in the last decade or two. Focused primarily on making sure that our small businesses have access to the loans and the funding that they needed in order to grow and expand. Parts of that bill, which I authored, have already been credited with helping to create thousands of jobs here in the state of Michigan. So we're going to be able to show facts of what I've done over the last few years, a record of accomplishment, and really my focus on making sure that Main Street takes a priority over Wall Street, and unfortunately, Wall Street tends to trump things in Washington, and we've got to return that focus to our Main Street businesses and small businesses, and that's what I've done since day one, and I look forward to continuing to do it in the U.S. Senate.
Let me ask you, just kind of looking ahead, Congressman, to the weeks to come, if someone else enters as a Democrat and there turns out to be a primary, who do you think could be a possible opponent? As you're looking at the landscape?
I don't think about who could be possible opponents, who could be getting in the race. What I do is just focus on our campaign. We have instituted our listening tour around the state, been traveling around. Last week I was in Flint and Lansing and Grand Rapids, so we'll continue to do that. Getting out, talking to folks, but more importantly, listening to people. My view is that the most important conversations that someone in elective office needs to focus on are the conversations that occur around the dinner table as families grapple with issues like whether or not they can afford higher education for their children, whether they can afford health care, they can retire with dignity. Those are the kinds of things that I focus on. Those are the things that I worry about, and those are the types of things that I fight for in Washington, D.C.
With approval ratings nationally, this is coast to coast, with approval ratings for Congress so low and really so down in the dumps in the sense that people have of gridlock in inaction, what changes need to be made? How do you get people to actually trust their government again? And I guess I'm asking, how do you believe you could make a difference in all of that if you're in the Senate?
Well, people are certainly very frustrated by the inability for people to get together and work and to try to find common ground. You know, I come from a long business background prior to being in elective office as a businessman for many years, and the thing that is important is that we put aside ideology and instead focus on practical, common sense solutions. That has been what I have done in Washington over these last few years, trying to reach across the aisle, working in a bipartisan fashion. I'm currently working, for example, with a gentleman from California, John Campbell, who's a Republican representing the Orange County area of Southern California. We're working on significant legislation to reform the mortgage market. We've also worked together to form the Auto Caucus, which is very important for us in Michigan. It is a bipartisan caucus that I put together of over 62 members. In fact, there's 31 Democrats and 31 Republicans on this caucus, finding common ground to help an industry that is absolutely essential for the middle class and essential for us, certainly in Michigan. So I'm a big believer that the only way that folks will be pleased with what's happening in Washington is when they see things getting done. And the only way we can get things done is by reaching across the aisle and working together on common sense solutions. And that's what I've been doing these last few years and will continue to do.
And I guess finally, just for the constituents of your 14th district, how will campaigning for the Senate impact taking care of business in the House?
Well, my focus is continuing to do the job that I was elected to do in the 14th district, and I'll be here in Washington fighting for issues that people care very deeply about in my community. That won't focus. Although when I'm home, I will continue to travel around Michigan, hearing some of the concerns from people around the state. But to me, there's a lot that we have in common, whether it's in the 14th district or other places around the state of Michigan. We're all looking for the same things to make sure folks have a quality, good-paying job, have the ability to, as I say, retire with dignity and have health care. Those are the issues that impact middle-class families, whether they're in southeast Michigan or the west side of the state or the northern part of the state. And those are things that I fight for every day in Washington.
Congressman and Senate candidate Gary Peters, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Let us move now from the Democratic Senate candidate to the view from the GOP side of things. Just who might be the Republicans' best hope of winning Carl Levin's Senate seat? Joining us is Republican strategist Dennis Lennox. Welcome back to Stateside, Dennis.
Hey, good afternoon.
So what challenge do you think the candidacy of Gary Peters presents to Michigan's Republicans?
Well, quite simply, it's pretty difficult to be against somebody when you don't have a candidate.
And why hasn't a Republican just seized this and jumped in? What's keeping this from happening?
Well, your guess is probably as good as mine. If you would have asked me 3 months ago when Carl Levin announced that he wasn't running for election next year, I would have rattled off names like Rick Snyder, the governor, you know, our Attorney General Bill Schuette, or even Candace Miller, the congresswoman from Macomb County, home of the Reagan Democrats, as potential Republican replacements. But unfortunately, at least for somebody on my side of the aisle, one by one, they've taken their names out of consideration, and now it's basically down to Mike Rogers and Justin Amash.
So what's going on here? Why do you think people are stepping up to say, no, don't think of me?
Well, you know, there's probably a lot of internal considerations. Obviously, when you're governor, you're probably thinking you would rather be governor, particularly when the Democrats can't find somebody to run against you. You know, that may be the understated story of the year, that the Democrats can't find a single person willing to run for governor. But also, it's just a realization that running statewide in a state that has went Democratic at the presidential level, at least, since 1992, can be very challenging. And Republicans do face a tone and messaging challenge that I don't know if everybody in the party has figured out how to, you know, address going forward.
So there is certainly, we all know it is certainly a state of flux for the GOP in Michigan and nationally. But then there has to be somebody on your side of the aisle who's looking at that seat saying, I don't know, maybe I could be the person. So who should we keep an eye on?
I'd be looking at Craigslist to see if somebody takes an ad out saying candidate wanted. But in all seriousness, I think Mike Rogers and Justin Amash, both members of Congress, are probably sure things at the moment. They're definitely giving it serious consideration. But they have their own practical consideration. I don't actually think Rogers is going to run when push comes to shove. I think he would probably rather stay as chairman of the Intelligence Committee. It's a very plum position. And then for Justin Amash, you know, he's a young 30-something disciple of Ron Paul. He could keep his House seat for 10 years. Or he could give it up and run for Senate, which wouldn't be a sure thing. Or he could keep his House seat for a couple more years and run for governor in 2018. I think actually when you look at Justin Amash, he also may not run because he's probably doing the political calculus and saying in 2018, presuming Rick Snyder is reelected, there isn't a clear name right now for governor or some of the other offices like attorney general that he could run for.
What about Terry Lynn Land?
I like Terry Lynn Land. I think having a woman as a candidate is something the Republican Party desperately needs at the moment. It's a key demographic. In fact, the majority of voters are women. However, I think she's better in the position that she has right now and as an internal party leader, and some have talked about her perhaps being a candidate for National Republican Party chairman, would be the first woman ever to have that position. I just don't think the time is right for her for U.S. Senate.
Okay, you're just feeling that. It makes me wonder, speaking of timing, how loudly is the clock ticking for Republicans? Now you got Gary Peters in there for, you know, stepped right up for the Democrats. How does a later GOP entry affect the race in terms of message and campaigning and fundraising?
I think the clock is ticking pretty loudly. In fact, I think it's time to put an ad on Craigslist saying candidate wanted. Bobby Shostak, the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, in my opinion, needs to exercise some of his prerogatives as chairman and draft a candidate and perhaps amend the rules to do away with the three-ring circus atmosphere that often overshadows primary contests. I mean, that's also a big reason why some people don't want to run, for the simple fact that they have to spend a year and a half just to win the primary before they ever get to face off against Gary Peters. You know, Gary Peters is a threat to the Republicans in Michigan for the simple fact that you can't be against a candidate when you don't have an alternative.
And then let's just talk history, which I suspect many of these names that have said, no thanks. You look at both Senate seats, and Carl Levin's had a lock on his since he beat Republican Robert Griffin. That was 1978. And then you look at Senator Stabenow's seat, and you had Spencer Abraham that single term from 95 to 2001. And that was the only win for the GOP since Charles Potter, and that was back in the 1950s. So, you know, in your heart of hearts, do you think a GOP candidate really has any chance of replacing Carl Levin?
Oh, absolutely. Let's face it, too, that many of those elections occurred in presidential years or they were incumbents. The reality is when there's an actual open senatorial seat in a non-presidential year, it generally favors Republicans in Michigan. It's just something that historically hasn't happened a lot. I think Republicans with a Candace Miller, a Rick Snyder, or a Bill Schuette would have an outstanding chance. While they've kind of said no, I'm not convinced that if enough grandees of the party came to them and said, here's a check, we're funding your campaign, you're running, that they would say no. I think Candace Miller would be a stellar candidate. She's from the right part of the state. You know, Republicans don't win when they run somebody from West Michigan. So it's maybe not fair. It is a big state. You know, I'm from somebody that lives north of Clare. We often get on the short side of things. But the reality of the matter is southeastern Michigan drives the state. You know, no pun intended.
Sure.
And if we want to win as a party, we better find somebody that lives in the big three counties around Detroit. Or we're going to face a real challenge, because Gary Peters is as good as they get when it comes to career politicians. You know, he's great at talking that centrist Democratic talking points and voting extreme liberal, you know, when it gets time. And I think if Republicans don't wake up and find a real strong candidate and they don't learn their lessons from 2012 when we had a shot of defeating Senator Stabenow, we're going to have a Senator Gary Peters for a long time to come.
And what I'll let you grandstand a little bit here for the GOP, Dennis Lennox, since you know, as a younger member of the party, what would the party offer the people of Michigan that a Gary Peters would not?
Well, I think you have to look to Lansing. You have to look to what Republicans have done in Lansing and say, we've done it in Lansing, we can replicate it in Washington. The fact of the matter is the solutions to the great challenges facing Michigan aren't going to come out of the Beltway in Washington. They're going to come from the 50 state capitals and the small towns in flyover country. And that's what you see Republicans succeeding every day. And that's why you're looking at the landscape in 2014, just not in Michigan, but in many of the other states with Senate races, they really do favor Republicans, because these are the states that are electing Republican governors. Let's not forget, Rick Snyder's on the ballot in 2014, and the Democrats can't even find a single candidate to run against a Republican governor, despite President Obama overwhelmingly winning Michigan.
I don't want to go off too deep in the weeds here, but I would like your thoughts. Do you not have a party, when you talk about the Michigan Republicans, when you have someone like Brooks Patterson saying that House Speaker Jace Bulger reminds him of, you know, invoking Adolf Hitler, when he's talking about Jay Spolger, does that not say that there's a party with some internal dissension that needs to be healed?
Well, the Democrats are the party that had a KKK grand wizard as their majority leader.
Well, I want to talk about why the Brooks Patterson comment about Jay Spolger. Let's just talk about
the Democrats are the party of Jim Crow and segregation forever. The Republicans have always been the party of civil rights. The Democrats have their kooks and Republicans have their kooks, but at the end of the day, the race is decided by candidates that it can appeal to the center and not to the extremes of either party.
So what will you be looking for going forward, besides that possible Craigslist ad that you've been joking about? But what are you looking for, Dennis, as we look ahead?
Well, it's not me. I think the legion of Republican foot soldiers across the state want a candidate, and they want a candidate now. We can't wait till September, and that's what Amash and Rogers and some of the others have talked about, that they're going to wait till the Republicans have their conference on Mackinac Island in September. I think if you're serious, if you're somebody out there truly looking at running for U.S. Senate, you've got to announce before the 4th of July, because we all know what Michiganders do in the summertime. They take off for their cottage. And frankly, in a state with 83 counties, unless the rules change with respect to the primaries, you've got to get out there now to hit all those rubber chicken dinners between now and next August.
Republican strategist Dennis Lennox, he actually recently wrote a column about this very issue. GOP candidate for Senate wanted, wrote it for the Morning Sun paper. And Dennis was kind enough to join us from Traverse City. Good talking with you, Dennis. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always.
And speaking of U.S. Representative Mike Rogers, a group representing FBI agents and retirees says it wants President Obama to make the congressman the next director of the FBI. The Brighton Republican worked as an FBI agent before first being elected to the state Senate and then later to Congress. Just yesterday, the FBI Agents Association endorsed Rogers to replace FBI Director Robert Mueller. His 10-year term was extended by Congress for 2 years. It ends in September, and the search is on for his replacement. Well, the organization of agents says Rogers is respected on both sides of the aisle, and his background as a special agent sets him apart. The 49-year-old Rogers chairs the House Intelligence Committee. In a statement, he says he is honored and humbled by the endorsement.